morning. It's so good to be with you all this morning. And praise the Lord for this wonderful privilege to stand before you. And just before I may forget after the message, so I just want to call our attention to after the message, refresh, and we're going to be getting a selection from George, Anika, and Veronica. So the triple threat. Ooh. Look forward to hearing what they have prepared for us. So this month is our month where our theme is foundations. And it's a wonderful month. I'm looking forward to this month. We're going to be having a smorgasbord. We always have a good time anyway, but we're going to be having a smorgasbord of testimonies and, you know, a personal accounts that we don't usually hear about. So looking forward to that this month. So this morning, I'm just going to dive right in. The theme for this morning's message is, it is Jesus. It is Jesus. And, you know, I want to thank the Lord for the process. many years ago when Pastor first asked me to share a word, I said yes. And then afterward, I was like, Grace, you've done it again. Put your foot in your mouth. But before Pastor asked me, you know, the Lord and I had a conversation, and the Lord reminded me of a few things. And, you know, when I first came to know the Lord, as a little girl, just a child, and, you know, I'd read the stories, couldn't get enough of the stories in Old Testament stories, and about how the Lord, you know, used children, young people, and I gravitated to those stories of him calling Samuel when he was just a little kid in Eli's house, and Eli, you know, he thought Eli was calling him, but it was actually the Lord. And so Eli, the priest at the time, I believe it was Eli, he said, well, the next time you hear that call, because it's not me calling you, the next time you hear that, say, speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. And as a little girl, I said, Lord, that's my answer to you. Here I am. And I had, a few months before that pastor asked me, I had written this little sticky note on my desk. And the sticky note said, Lord, my answer is still yes. Still yes, Lord. And, you know, this week was an unimaginable week. And I'll say, okay, Lord, what you doing? And, you know, the Lord, his dealings with us is personal and intimate and constant. And Sunday when I was getting ready for the picnic, I went into our little crawl space to get my chair for the picnic, and there was about a foot of water in that space. I said, okay, it's going to be like that. And, you know, just, you know, I set aside time on my calendar to prepare. And, you know, I said, okay, Lord, that's the way it's going to be, huh? Okay. It's a faith walk. And my answer is still yes, Lord. My answer is still yes. Because it's not about me. Now, when it's about me, you know, and I do, you know, I get shaky, and it's human, right? And but the Lord is constant in reminding me, it's not about you. You know, and so he is our foundation, and that's what we're going to talk about today. It is Jesus. And when Ronnie called me on Friday, and she said, so what's the topic of the message, and what's your text? I was like, interesting question. And so, it is Jesus, and it's probably 2 Corinthians 5:17, and so it still is. Praise the Lord. It still is. So, we just are trusting the Lord to speak to us. And the text this morning, 2 Corinthians 5:17, reads, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Thank you, Lord. We can go home. You ever read something from the Word, you say, okay, I'm good, Lord, I'm good now. If anyone is in Christ, it's Jesus. Jesus is our foundation. The Word tells us there's no other foundation that has been laid. It's Jesus. My main idea is living in Christ, living in Christ, by its very nature, is an experience of exponential proportions. It can only get better. Living in Christ, by its very nature, is an experience of exponential proportions. It can only get better. Our text speaks of a new state of being. New can mean one of two things. It can mean to acquire something we never had. It can also mean that something old is being replaced by something more current. We find that life in Christ encompasses both the acquisition of something we never had, as well as the replacement of something. So if we could read together 2 Corinthians, I wanted to read the entire little text there of the context of just that brief part of the letter. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I'm going to just read from verses 11, and it goes actually to 21. Then we're going to read it. Since then we know what it is to fear the Lord, we try to persuade men. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is also plain to your conscience. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us, so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than what is in the heart. If we are out of our mind, it is for the sake of God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And praise the Lord for his word. Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity and this privilege, Lord, to boast about you. Lord, you are the one. You are our foundation, Lord. And thank you for this gathering together, Lord, together. This morning, virtually, in person, who would have thought that we would gather in this way? But you are everywhere. Lord, in our homes this morning, I pray that your presence would be known. Here this morning, Lord, as we are face to face, we pray, Lord, that your presence would be known. We lean and we depend on you and we glorify your name. In Jesus' name. In verse 11, it says, "Everything is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ." Reconciliation speaks of a new relationship with God the Father. We are no longer at odds with the Father. Because of Christ, we have acquired something we never had. This is that new, first part of new. A brand new relationship status with God through Christ. The section of Paul's letter reminds the believers of the compelling, mind-blowing love of Christ, his finished work of redemption. We are no longer at odds with the Father. You know, he said in verse, 20, he says, "Be reconciled to God." And to me, he was saying, embrace your status. Embrace your status. Have you ever been at odds with someone? You just can't seem to do the right thing. You try to do something nice. They read it the wrong way. There's just something there that never got worked out. So it's there, hanging overhead. In the at-odds state, which is the state before Christ, the Jewish customs of feasts and elaborate sacrifices, just wasn't enough. There was still something in the way. So why did the Corinthian brethren need to be reminded about their reconciled status? Answer, for the same reason we need reminding. We see the external. Their focus on the external was tripping them up. Paul said, in verse 12, "We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again." Paul had a tough act to follow when he came to Corinth. Apollos was there first and evidently was a more polished and eloquent speaker than Paul. Paul's saying, "I'm just going to keep it simple as possible." He told them in his first letter, Jesus Christ is our righteousness. Jesus is our holiness. Jesus is our wisdom. Jesus is our redemption. The whole reason the Holy Spirit was given to you, Corinthians, was so that we can know what God has freely given to us. It's all about Jesus, Corinthians, Valley Brookians. It's still all about Jesus, what he's done. The verse continues, and he says, "I'm giving you an opportunity to take real pride in us. Because, so you can take, have an answer for those who take pride in what is seen rather than what is in the heart. This is your opportunity, Corinthians, to focus on the transformation that took place when we believed. When we believed, we were reconciled. Everything that was in the way was removed. He said, so you see, Corinthians, if you get this right, and if we get this right, our true and infinite status of reconciliation, it doesn't change. If we understand our position because of Christ, a lot of other things fall in line. Verse 13, he said, if we are out of our mind, as some say, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. Paul is saying, I'm trying to hold it together for your sakes. Because when I think about this status of ours, I have a hard time holding it together. Our unchanging status. That he actually became our holiness. Christ's love compels us. We are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. The Message Bible explains it a little bit easier for me, this portion of scripture. It says, Jesus included everyone in his death so that everyone could be included in his life, a resurrection life, a far better life than people can live on their own. We have acquired the resurrection life. It's hard to hold it together when I think about that. The resurrection life, that life that will not end, that transcendent life, that's what we have. We have it today. We have it tomorrow. Sunday morning for an hour is too short to contain this resurrection life that we have. We get together with one another, and I love church. I have to tell you, I told someone that I won't go into why I told that person that, but I said, you may as well know, I love church. I love getting together. And sometimes, you know, when pastors start to share last Sunday, I wanted to just get on my, you know, get up here and cross my legs and just kind of like, oh, this is so good. This is so good. That's how I feel when the word is going forth. Or when I call somebody and they're like, you know, I'm trusting God. I'm like, let's talk about that for a few minutes. This hour that we have, it's not enough. It's not what it was all about, that one hour. You know, the early church, that Pentecost Sunday, when they were all together, the building shook. And they didn't stay there. They were dispersed. Persecution came, and they were dispersed. For us, if it was not for the life of Christ himself, where would we be during COVID? We couldn't get together, couldn't see each other. We learned how to get in front of our TVs and break bread together, you know. When we had communion Sunday at my house, we got glasses for each person in Anastasia's bottle because we were all going to break bread together. That's what we were going to do, separated by COVID. But we're going to break bread together virtually. We're going to remember that Jesus' blood was shed, his body was broken, and COVID does not change that. We're living the resurrected life. a life that sometimes we don't know what to do with ourselves. I have to tell you. Sometimes, yes. Sometimes physically, yeah, I do want to run and shout when I think about Jesus and what he has done and who I am and where I am and that it's never going to change. It's never going to change. It's infinite. So Paul said, Corinthians, remember your reconciliation status. Remember that it's done. We are living our best life. Jesus brings out our best selves, our best life. Verse 15 said, he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. It really is all about Jesus. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. It must really have been difficult to believe that Jesus was the Son of God. Waking up with him every morning, bedhead, or maybe rockhead, because it said he didn't have a place to lay his head. You know, he probably brushed his teeth a little differently than Peter did. And so it was like, you're the Son of God? In like manner, we have difficulty seeing each other for who we really are. We see the external. We rub shoulders with each other in different ways. Sometimes it's difficult to see because we're looking at the external. But know this. If anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ. He gave us the ministry of reconciliation. We need reminding because, yes, we do see the external. We react to the external. And, you know, my mom and dad, I had a really precious thought about them and how they related to each other. You know, they had a lot of pet names for each other. But from time to time, they would say to one another, they would refer to one another. I would hear my mom say to my dad, Brother Smith. And sometimes my dad would say to my mom, Evangelist Smith. And, you know, as a kid, I didn't know what was going on, but they were reminding one another that they have an eternal status different from what they are encountering here with one another. That they could always go back to that. They could always go back to the fact that, yeah, you're my reconciled brother in Christ. You are my reconciled sister in Christ. And it's good for us to remind one another that, huh? Or to remind ourselves, right? And the Lord does give us grace to remember. Jesus is the proof that this reconciliation happened. It is Jesus. So I do have one to do. Excuse me. How do we do that? How do we navigate the external, right? One to do. Let us thank God for each other. We have many opportunities, and we will continue to have many opportunities to grumble against each other. We're going to have lots of opportunities. And this doesn't mean there won't be things to address in our relationships. But if we can remember this one thing and keep going back to this one thing, we will do well. Paul, in his first letter to the Corinthians, the very first chapter, he said, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be his holy people, together with all those who everywhere call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. Jesus is the difference maker. And, you know, Paul had some serious things to address with the Corinthian church. And he probably was already aware of some of those things when he said this. But he said, I thank God for you. So in the midst of it, let's thank God for each other. Amen. I mentioned earlier that something new also means something old has been replaced. And what has been replaced is, at least one thing that has been replaced, is our response or our reaction. Our response and our reaction to just about everything is changing. And I say is changing because it's a process. Our response in approaching Christ, it's changing. And I just want to pick on my brother Elder Michael for a minute. My brother Elder Michael has been sharing his meditations with a few of us. And he expressed in one of his reflections, he said, I have a desire to be fully engaged. And that sometimes I feel like I'm sleeping. But then I'm not. He says, I just want to draw nearer. And as I was laying and thinking about that, I said, I want to draw nearer too. And, you know, what Michael was sharing, he felt where he was in his present state wasn't close enough. And, you know, I said, Lord, as I was thinking about that, I said, this is what I want. And then comes this little voice that says, you know what, it's me doing that. It's Jesus. And I was like, that's actually when the title of this message came, thinking about Michael's meditation. It's Jesus that's doing it. It's like gravitational pull. He's pulling us in. You know, our circumstances come, and through our circumstances, he pulls us in a little bit closer. It's like gravity. I love those science movies, you know, once those spaceships get in the Earth's gravity, they're like, oh, well, we're getting pulled in. There's nothing we can do to resist. You know, let's just give in to it. It's going to pull us in. That's what we're experiencing, you know, that gravitational pull. So when we have a thought, Lord, I just want to be more like you, that's him. That's Jesus. That's our foundation, our sure foundation. He's not letting us go. He's not going to let us go. And I'm relying on that. God is faithful. I'm relying on that. So instead of running away, we find ourselves being pulled closer and closer. We find that we no longer need to hide. That's something that's different. our relationship with God, knowing that we don't need to hide. I am so glad that God is not dealing with us according to the rules of karma. If you, Lord, would mark iniquities, who could stand? You know, when we start thinking, okay, when I do something good is going to come back to me. And we don't want to trust in our own goodness. It's a trap. It's a trap. He is my righteousness. Only He is. And the Lord warns us, doesn't He? He says, so where are you going with that? I love how personal He is, you know? We know, He says, my sheep know my voice. We know He has a way of talking with each one of us that He gets to you the way He knows how to get to you. And He gets to me the way he knows he can get to me. And He is creator. Creating is what He does. Our text says, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Only He can create. He created something new in us. And, you know, my son was really excited about some microscope that he can see all these little things about flies or whatever. I was like, God put that there. And then He gave somebody some wisdom and understanding to know how to find it. And they still haven't found everything because he's in the lab like 12 hours a day trying to figure it out, trying to make some correlation. Whereas the God of all creation, I'll break off a little piece so you can see it just a little bit. Think about what He's doing in us. He can't help but create. Creation is what He does. He's not done. He's not done with us. When we get discouraged about our pace, our progress, when we feel like, what's the point? I thought I had that wrapped up. He's not done. He won't be done until we stand face to face with Him. So our reaction, our response is something old that has been replaced. Our response and our reaction to trouble, our old way of thinking is changing. When the relationship with God wasn't right, somehow we acquainted trouble with His attitude towards us. Our thinking may have been that trouble meant that God is displeased with us. God is replacing that. Trouble comes to everyone. Trouble is in this world. That busted water pipe that destroyed some things I thought I had cherished, it's going to happen. Jesus, you know, He's walking with His disciples, and disciples are saying, look, Jesus, look at that building. Isn't it magnificent? Jesus said, you know, not one stone's going to be left on each other. I just want to break it down to you. As magnificent as that building is, it's not going to last. So He helps us with our perspective about all things. In trouble, He's helping me with my perspective about trouble. Because of my new life in Christ and our new life in Christ, we go running to Him in trouble. Jesus, when he was at the tomb of Lazarus. He allowed Lazarus to die. He said, "Didn't I tell you if you believe, you would see the glory of God?" And, you know, I wish sometimes there was another way for me to see the glory of God than through trouble. I said, "Lord, now let's talk about this for just a minute." And I do this all the time with the Lord. I say, "Lord, can we just talk about this? There's got to be another way for you to show me your glory." And I, you know, in trouble, I'm talking to him through the whole messy process. And I'm saying, "Jesus, I don't like this one bit." I do. I say it to him all the time. I go running to him. And at Lazarus' tomb, he called out to the Father. He said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me." Hallelujah! He always hears us. We don't have to say it right. We don't have to say it right. "Help, Jesus." You know, this week when I just couldn't find the time to get ready, one thing after another, work going crazy, home going crazy. I said, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus, what are you doing, Lord? What are you doing with your stuff, Lord? They just got all wet." And, you know, I didn't feel like I even knew how to pray. And so I said, "Lord, Pastor is probably praying for me. So do whatever he's asking you to do." And then I thought, I need to get Laverne to pray for me. I need to get some prayer support here. I said, "Lord, listen to them. I don't know what to say. I just don't know what to say." Psalms 27 that Brother Robert read is one of my favorite psalms. My email address, one thing, came from this psalm. But Psalms 27:5 says, "For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling." Psalms 91 calls it a secret place. Yes, I'm hiding in plain sight with Jesus as my shelter. I walked into my classroom and Tuesday to teach a class. And one of the other instructors met me. And before she even started talking, I knew that, yeah, it's a mess. I know. It's a mess. We were going to talk about the mess that we're dealing with. But this instructor, she's a believer. So I had just read Psalms 91, and I said, "Guess what, Joan? Jesus has us on a rock. We're not in the desert. He's actually placed us on a rock." And what does this mean? Our vantage point is different. Yeah, there's trouble, but he's given us a vantage point on a rock. See, when you're on a rock, you can look down, you see what's going on, but it's not affecting you. I mean, you can see it, and sometimes that's the way it feels, trouble feels. It's like, this is terrible. But how come it's not affecting me, Jesus? He's taken us to a secret place. We're in Christ. The new has come. He's training us. He's teaching us about what we have in him. And it's glorious. Being on a rock, if you've been, you know, hiking, not much of a hiker. I said I was going hiking last year, and I said to my daughter, I was always excited. I said, I'm going hiking. I'm going to Great Falls, and I'm going hiking. So Jocelyn immediately, without skipping a beat, she grabbed my phone, and she said, and she's doing some, I said, what you doing to my phone? She says, oh, nothing, Mother. And so she says, okay, I just wanted to make sure you have enabled Find My Phone on your phone. I said, why does my announcing that I'm going hiking or translate to you that this is a 911 event that you need to prepare for the search party? She's right. But I was thinking, I'm going to, you know, just go somewhere where I can just see the expanse of nature, the beauty of nature. And that's what he does with us. In the midst of trouble, he has a way of transporting us to that rock where it's exhilarating, where we find our help, our secret place. In Christ. In Christ. That's where we are. So, excuse me. Psalms 91 says, he's my refuge and fortress. My God, in him will I trust. I said, Lord Jesus, I think I'm going to lose my mind. Just laying down in bed. Wee hours in the morning. And I was, that's when I, you know, think about all the stuff. And I said, Lord, it's caving in on me, Lord. And our reaction is one of our newness that we have in Christ. So we go to him. And I'm laying there and I'm saying, Lord, am I going to lose my mind? And he whispered again. He says, I'll keep your mind for you. If you lose it, it's right here with me. I'll hold on to it for you. And that didn't make a lot of sense maybe to you all, but in that moment, I couldn't think of an answer like that. That had to be him. That was him. Answering me in that moment. And, you know, in Christ, he doesn't let things go. When we call out to him, he says, I'm not done yet consoling you. And as I was reading, you know, I said, I'm just going to read through all of Corinthians in preparation for Sunday. It wasn't happening, but that's what I wanted to do. I said, study to show yourself approved. I want to get the context right. I want to make sure that I'm not being erroneous. Didn't happen, but praise God. But one part in Corinthians where Paul was reminding the Corinthians about what they have, he said, you have the mind of Christ. And I was like, Lord, you stop it. You still on that thing I told you about losing my mind. So, if I lose mine, I have the mind of Christ. I haven't lost it all. I said, Lord, stop it. Jesus. You have the mind of Christ. If anyone is in Christ, the old has gone. The new has come. And I'm losing my peace. Jesus says, I'll break off a chunk of my peace and give it to you. Here you go. Here it is. It's looking at a portrait of my handsome son and my lovely daughters and granddaughter. But when I looked at the portrait, this is what I came to mind. Yep, there's my little peace stealers. Right there, smiling at me. My little peace stealers. I said, that's okay. When my peace goes with them, Jesus says, here, here's mine. Here, you got peace. Here it is, right here. And sometimes I'll say, Lord, my peace is gone. Jesus. Here. My peace I give to you. My peace I leave with you. Not like the world's peace. Let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. In Christ, what's become new? Everything. 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 And praise you, Jesus. And, you know, I just, excuse me, a little testimony that is not my testimony, but a friend of mine I wanted to share with you because it's so reflective of the life, the new life that we have in Christ. I had a really close friend when we were in high school, teenagers in high school, very dear friend. We were, you know, tight. And she was Catholic. And, you know, at the time, you know, I was in my father's and other Pentecostal church. So, you know, we would, but we, you know, we were just, you know, when you saw one, you saw the other. She was my best buddy. And we'd go to lunch and we, you know, I'd say grace and she would, you know, say grace and she would make the sign of the cross. And she'd say, grace, so are you ready for this test? I said, I think so. I hope so. She says, you were at church last night, weren't you? I said, yeah. You went to church and we had this big test. I said, yeah. It was good, though. It was good. And so we went through high school and lost track of each other. And my friend, you know, this is many, many years after I was married, had a little, Johnson was a little baby. I get a call from my friend. And she said, Grace, I'm saved. I said, what? Grace, I said, how did you get my number? And she says, I called your father. And, you know, the thing, you know, if my parents were alive today, they'd still have the same landline phone number. And I had moved, you know, 30 times by this point, you know. And so I was like, how did you, you know, find me? And she said, I just called your father and he gave me your number. I was like, oh, okay. She says, Grace, I am saved. Grace, I know exactly what you're talking about. I understand what you were talking about all those years. I get it. She was so excited. Oh, my goodness. And so, you know, we talked from time to time, and we met up for lunch a couple years ago. She still lives in Baltimore. And she is just still excited. And she is telling others about Jesus. The waiters come. She's like, God bless you. She's one of those now. Little Miss Grace, why did you go to church last night? Now she's like, oh, my goodness. And so just a couple of weeks ago, she called me and she said, you know, she during 2020, she was diagnosed with cancer. She had surgery. And then a couple of weeks ago, her knee gave out, so she had to have it operated on. And so she's at home. She lives by herself. And so we're talking about, you know, how she's doing and how I'm. She calls me and she asks, all this is going on with her, but she calls. She says, Grace, how you doing? I've been praying for you. It's like, Robin, thank you for praying for me. But she said, you know, this is the struggles of trying to get somebody to come in and help her. And but she said, Grace, I have to tell you, thanks for sharing the word with me. What would I do without Jesus? Thank you, Grace, for sharing that word. I don't know what I would have done, what I would be doing right now if it wasn't for Jesus in my life. And on the phone, we started just rejoicing and praising God, praising Jesus for his presence, of knowing him. And it just gets better and better. So if anyone, and that's us, everyone, we're in Christ, all things become new. So may God bless you and keep you. And that's all. Praise the Lord.